Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a sustainability presentation from November 2014. Mr. Christian Dietrich, Director of Sustain Consulting, presents Environmental Performance.
Okay, welcome everybody to my presentation. I believe it's the last presentation for today, and I hope you can mobilize some energy to pay attention to what I'm going to tell you. My presentation is going to be a bit different compared to what you've seen before, because I'm not going to tell you so much about performance of fabrics or performance of certain products, but I'm going to tell you about the environmental performance of products. Environmental performance in terms of where does it come from, how is it being produced, and what's the environmental impact that happens there. Environmental performance in general is something that has become more and more the focus of large brands and retailers, because it's becoming more and more something that's has a responsibility to take care of. It's becoming more and more something to differentiate yourselves from other companies, something that can improve or even damage your reputation. And this field is quite widespread. There's a lot of things that have an influence on environmental performance, and I'm going to focus my presentation today on something that is something very specific, a very specific solution on how to improve environmental performance by capacity building, by addressing manufacturing and improving it. So, environmental performance is something that, like I said, it's becoming more and more important. And if you look at the products, where they're being produced and what environmental impacts are related to these products, if you're looking at something that is as simple as a blue jeans, you need about 700 grams of cotton to produce a blue jeans, but you need more than 8,000 liters of water for each pair of jeans. You're using chemicals that are used to dye these fabrics that might, if they are not being treated in the right way or being used in the right way, might damage the environment there where it's being produced. You have carbon emissions that are related to the production of such products, because obviously you're using energy to produce these jeans. And last but not least, which might not be an environmental topic, but you always have social impacts. Most products today, most fashion products, are being produced somewhere in Asia, perhaps, in Africa, South America. There's always a certain social risk, or a risk that social standards are being not being kept up to date. And so these things are backpacks that products bring when they come into the shop. If you buy them in a shop, these are the things that they come with. And these are things that companies are addressing or have to address in a certain way. And the environmental impact is one thing. Another reason why a lot of large brands, large companies are addressing these issues are expectations from customers, for example, or expectations from stakeholders. I'm sure most of you know the Greenpeace detox campaign that they started 3 years ago, which addresses the use of toxic chemicals in manufacturing. They started with a campaign that addressed manufacturing in China, and if you look into China, how environmental pollution is being spread, not only from textiles manufacturing, but also from this industry. And if you look at water scarcity, how it's being developing in China, if you look at today, official numbers are that around about 300 million people in China don't have access to clean drinking water, and all of these things are related to manufacturing. And so this is one important way to, something that Greenpeace picked up and forced a lot of brands to commit themselves to stop using toxic chemicals in a couple of years, by 2020, in fact. Greenpeace is someone who can really damage the reputation of a brand, but it's only one thing. Another thing that makes brands to puts brands into a position where they have to act as legal requirements, for example. Those of you who are from Germany will have heard of the textile initiative from the development minister, where he's addressing very specifically requirements that Greenpeace has addressed as well. If you look into China again, China is going to increase their legal requirements by next year for the first time in more than 20 years. So there's a massive change happening in the industry. If you look into European legislation, some of you might be aware of the REACH legislation, where a lot more substances are being included more and more. And brands and retailers that use very specific fabrics, fabrics that have high performance requirements, where you need very specific chemicals, are particularly addressed by these things. They particularly have to deal with these issues. And this is the kind of work that we do at Sustain. We help companies to address these issues. We help them to develop instruments. We help them to implement these instruments. And we help them to improve manufacturing processes in the long run. And there are different, really different ways to address these things. We have developed a couple of instruments that you can use, instruments that are relatively standardized. One example is something that we've developed last year, which we call the Sustain Academy. And one company that that is using this is the Otto Group, which you might be aware of. They're using this training curriculum that we've developed to improve performance, improve social compliance issues for their manufacturing base in the long run. And something that's quite a new approach, where you're going away from defining certain requirements for factories and instead helping them to get to these better performance levels. And something that is something not something that is being able or being possible to be changed in a very short term. Something where you need a long breath, where you need to improve something in the long run. And another example for a really, well, quite new tool that we have also developed is a CPI2, the CPI2 initiative. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this in a minute, a little bit more detailed information about this. This is one thing. You can use standardized tools to improve performance, and you can also use tailor-made, very specific tools. That can be capacity-building tools like e-learning platforms, workshops, webinars. You can provide handbooks and so on if you have already identified certain issues that that you have to address in your manufacturing base. I want to tell you a little bit more about one of these instruments to give you an idea how brands are dealing with these issues, and something that is something that we have developed over the last 3 years, which is the Carbon Performance Improvement Initiative. 3 years ago, a group of fashion brands and retailers have come together and with the idea of improving the environmental performance of their manufacturers, and we had an idea of how we can do that, and we put this group of retailers and brands together, and among the founding members are brands like the Otto Group, which the Germans of you will know, but Otto Group is the largest textile retailer in Germany. It's the second largest online business in the world after Amazon. Brands like Deichmann, largest shoe retailer in Europe. We have brands, discount brands like Kick or like Lidl, who are part of this initiative. So quite a widespread group of companies that came together to combine know-how, combine financial resources, combine access to their manufacturing base. And the idea that we had was to address the environmental issues in the supply chain, like I said. And the idea was, in fact, supported by the Umweltbundesamt, the environmental agency of Germany, who thought this is something we need to look into. We got some funding from the Federal Ministry of the Environment. And what we did there for CPI2 is something, we developed a platform which goes beyond the definition of certain requirements, which is something, we have developed something that is basically a know-how platform that enables factories to reduce energy consumption, which means reducing carbon emissions, a platform that allows factories to improve their chemicals management, and to reduce water consumption. And you recognized three of these three issues that I had on my first slide from the jeans that I had there. These are the three, there are many more topics, but these are the three core topics when it comes to environmental performance that you have to address. And what we've developed for CPI2 is an online platform which you can access anywhere in the world. You can go, you can access it through the internet. There's a website called www.cpi2.org. You go there as a factory, you log in, you register, like on any platform that you use in the internet, and yet you get access to this platform. And what happens there is as a first step, as a manufacturer, you run through a systematic self-assessment system. One thing that we have in our work at factories experienced very often is that a lot of factory managers who have recognized that they need to improve their performance, to improve their processes, they often have problems with finding the right know-how. They often have problems with finding with addressing these issues in a systematic fashion. They often do hear something. They might be replacing some lighting. They might be replacing an expensive machine. But they often have really problems to systematically identify where they can improve. And this is something this tool is supporting them with. So they get guided with this online assessment tool, step by step, systematically through all the processes that happen in their factory, starting with management processes. How do you train your staff? Do you carry out maintenance? Going through different technical areas, what sort of lighting do you have, for example? What sort of sewing machines are you using? What sort of electric motors? How do you heat or how do you cool your buildings? Do you have transport vehicles? How do you store your chemicals? One-time, very systematic analysis through the factory. And then, as a next step, what happens there is the factory gets immediately a tailor-made recommendation report. Based on the answers that they give in the self-assessment, the system recognizes where are areas for improvement. Do you need to, carry out more maintenance? Do you need to replace the lighting system? Do you need to replace servo motors? I don't know. Do you need to do something with your compressed air system? This tool gives them a set of recommendations that need to be improved, and it gives them all the know-how and the knowledge that they need to take improvement steps. It gives them a detailed explanation how to take this improvement, gives them explanation if there are costs involved, what are the payback times, what are the saving potentials. It gives them case studies from or best practice examples from other factories that have taken such measures to basically to inspire them to see what happened in other factories. It gives them calculations tools and so on. Quite a comprehensive set of information for these factories to enable them to take action by themselves. And the idea behind this is obviously, if you're looking at large companies, if you're looking at large brands, they are sourcing worldwide. They have very, very complex sourcing structures. It's becoming increasingly difficult for them to work with each factory individually. And an online platform like this, which means you don't have to go to each factory anymore, you don't have to work with everyone individually, they can get the know-how out of the system, is really a very good way to take out the complexity of supply chain and to address or to help a lot of factories at the same time, basically. There's also something that is also like an inspiring element, I would say, a way to benchmark themselves. They get the factories that take part get a rating, so they know where they stand compared to other factories. They know if they are on a very good level or on a very basic level. We've introduced something that everyone recognizes quite easily, a bronze, silver, gold scheme. It's not reinventing the wheel, but it's something that they recognize, and the experience shows that people, especially in Asian countries, they really like to have certificates. They really like to put them, print them out, hang them on the wall, something that should help them to get motivated to take improvements. This tool, this platform, is translated. We have it in Chinese, we have it in Tamil, we have it in Turkish. Six languages are covered, which is an absolute success factor if you want to address these things in emerging countries where people are not always so fluent in English. Certainly the management speaks English, but then people who have the technical information, they might not be so fluent. So we had to translate all the content. So the entire tool, all the supportive documents, everything's translated. And this initiative, like I said, was started 3 years ago. And the development process took about 1.5 years. We developed the content, we developed the IT infrastructure, we worked with more than 30 factories to shape the tool in a way that they can work with it. And it's online for 1.5 years now, and we're already working with more than 500 factories as of today in 18 countries. Majority is in China, obviously, which is still the largest sourcing market for the textile industry. But we're in 18 countries, European countries as well, Italy, Bulgaria. We even have a German factory that's in there. So we've had, in a really short time, we've reached out to quite a lot of factories out there. And I have just one example of a factory with me. We have collected over this period of time quite a few really good examples of factories that use this tool and that really made a huge step in improving their environmental performance. And this is one factory in Bangladesh. And what we did here was, in spring this year, after we had this platform online for 1 year, we asked the factories that are registered on there to give us some examples of what they have done, what improvements they have taken, what has happened in their factories. And we got quite a few really inspiring and impressive examples of factories. And this one finally was selected from the CPI2 members to become the winner of a what we call a CPI2 award, just something to reward factories that have taken really huge steps. And I think it's particularly interesting and also nice to see, because it's a good example from a factory in Bangladesh. And I mean, we've heard all the bad news over the last years in what's happening in Bangladesh. So there are some good examples in this country as well. And we handed over the awards in summer this year. They were really proud. They the ceremony was at the BGMEA headquarters, which is the Exporters Association of Bangladesh. They invited local media. They had some newspaper coverage. And they were really proud of receiving such an award. And just to give you some examples of what they did, I don't want to give you all the details of technical measures that they've taken, but some really relatively easy steps that they had taken, which meant for them quite massive savings. Things like the already mentioned maintenance improvements, things like exchanging light, things like exchanging servo motors. Measures that had been recommended by this online platform, measures that they could take by themselves, and measures that had such high savings potential that none of them had a payback time longer than 12 months, less than a year, all of these measures. And for them, obviously the biggest motivator for them is that they saved a massive amount of money, but for the initiative, the really big success is that this factory now saves 900 tons of CO2 emissions every single year. It's not just once, they are saving this now every single year, and this is just one factory. Many more examples of factories. I remember a factory in Vietnam that I had visited last year that had taken part in CPI2, which was, it was a really basic factory. I mean, people who really, they were professional textile manufacturers, not energy consultants or environmental consultants or anything like this. And I went there to this factory, and I spoke to the manager, and he started to switch on his computer, and he had prepared a presentation, and he showed me all the things that they had taken. It was really nice to see how they had taken ownership of this topic. They had on the meeting table, I remember, they had this different measurement instruments where you could measure energy consumption and stuff. And after the meeting, we went to the production floor, and they just had received a delivery of lighting tubes, new lighting tubes that they wanted to install, and we did that together, just for some of them. We went to the factory floor, we replaced some lighting. They immediately took some measurements and had saved, I don't know, 20% of their energy there. They were really, it was really nice to see how people who didn't have access to such information could take ownership of such a topic, and then develop some enthusiasm and really take some improvements. And it's quite nice to see how these things can work when you implement them in the right way. Another issue or something that I already mentioned with the Greenpeace detox campaign, something I want to show you some more examples of how factories are looking these days. These are pictures that we have taken last year and this year. In factories that we have visited, and especially when it comes to chemicals management, chemicals handling, there is still a lot to improve. Even factories that at the first view have quite a well-managed look to them. If you look into the storage areas of chemicals, for example, you see often very alarming things. And this is an example here. We have a storage area as well in a textile factory. You have all these containers here containing different types of chemicals, hardly labeled, not covered, really quite messy. An even better example is this picture from a Chinese factory. Extremely messy. You don't know what's in these chemicals. You see these bags of chemicals over here just lying around there. And you can imagine that there's one person or maybe two persons in charge of this storage area, and they are the only ones who know. And I would doubt that they know all the details about it, but they are the only ones who know what's in all these bags and these unlabeled containers and so on. So if they are leaving the factory, which happens quite often, no one knows what it is. Probably the stuff just ends behind the factory in the next river or something. And beyond that, obviously, most of these chemicals, or at least some of them, are unhealthy. They are harmful to people. They can damage their health. And people who work in this kind of environments are certainly not working in a very healthy environment. It kind of shows also how people are aware in a lot of these places, or how there's a lack of awareness, how dangerous these chemicals can be. Another example here, which looks okay, looks clean at the first view. Containers here that contain hydrogen peroxide. And hydrogen peroxide is a really toxic substance. It's corrosive. It's very, very dangerous to your health. And these containers are not even labeled. No one knows what's in there, except perhaps the person who put it there a while ago. And in the same factory, we have some other pictures, which I don't have with me today. If you looked at a little bit to the right, they had these containers of potassium permanganate, which is something that is it's evaporating. And if you inhale it, it's very toxic to yourself as well. And these containers were standing open, and you know, everyone who worked in there inhaled the fumes. And so even in those places which looked clean and okay at the first view, it's not so good, some of these factors are not so good managed. And then there's one thing that really is a classic issue. As a person here is a little bit dark. You look at him, he's wearing flip-flops. He's also not wearing any gloves. He's grabbing into the container of chemicals. You find that in, I don't know, 90% of the factories that we visited, you find such things where people are directly in contact with chemicals, and they need help to understand what is happening there, and they need help to improve their storage systems. And this is something that this tool, the CPI2 tool I showed you before, is addressing. And and then you see, if you work with factories over a longer period of time, if you help them to develop, you can see how things are improving, how storage areas are improving. Again, it's a little bit dark, but you see some containers here correctly labeled. You see material safety data sheets that are on there. Everyone knows what they are dealing with. You see really clean areas where chemicals are being stored. This is a factory that has understood the importance and has also, they know how to deal with these chemicals. And this obviously means improvements in health and safety for the workers, which is certainly the most important reason to address these issues. But it also means, at the end of the day, for a factory that is managing these chemicals, chemicals are costing money. If you don't know what you're using, if you're not very precise with it, it's going to cost you even more money. And if you manage it well, it might even mean a cost reduction compared to your previous operations. You might be able to reduce product failures because you're using the right chemicals in the right way. And of course, you have overall a reduced environmental impact. Your environment is not so much damaged because you know what you're dealing with. You have it clean. You have it stored in the right way. Again, I don't need to dwell too much on this screen. Just to give you an idea of what this looks like, what the the support that people get from this online platform is something where they, it's an example of a tool that, that shows them how to store chemicals with lots of pictures, very easy to understand, and the few text elements that they have on there are obviously translated into their languages. So people can really start working with these things even though there are no experts. It's a really good platform to do capacity building to enable people to work with this issue. Another thing that is really challenging, really difficult for a lot of brands is obviously you can reduce carbon emissions with your direct suppliers, but the chemical issues, dye houses, wet processing factories are typically in what we call tier two level, beyond the first direct suppliers, and a lot of companies have problems with creating transparency for a start, to know where their products are coming from, if you go beyond the suppliers or if you go along the supplier lines. And not only are they lacking transparency, they also have really limited access to these factories because there are no direct suppliers and they don't have a direct business connection to them. So if you're looking at these, if you look at the brand that is using this platform, that's part of this platform, they can quite easily access their direct business partners, they can give them access to the platform and they can help them to improve. But what this tool also allows them is it enables those factories to spread this tool into their suppliers, onto their suppliers. So they can start using this tool as well. And this helps the brands that are part of this initiative to also not only to find out who are they, who, where their products are coming from, they also have directly a way to improve these issues that these factories are having. And this is something that can then go beyond that. This tool can spread, it delivers the infrastructure to go beyond all these different tier levels, all these different manufacturing levels. And it's a way that, or it's a tool that delivers an infrastructure to find out what is happening in your supply chain. And this is quite something, well, something new, something that that is to a lot of brands a new way, a new approach to, well, create transparency and to improve environmental performance. And what they can find out as a brand, if you want to look into the factories, you can find out what are the carbon emissions of my supplier base, for example. You can look into how many issues do I have in China, or what are open problems in many countries. You get a general overview of your supply chain, you get a detailed factory fact sheet of different factories that are working for you, you find out what their recommended measures are or corrective action plans are, you find out what problems these factories have, and you can even analyze it in a more detailed fashion. You can look into, as an example, you can find out, okay, this factories, what topics or what issues do my factories have? Do they have, for example, a problem with storage and handling of chemicals? And then you can look deeper into the area of storage and handling, and then you can find out what exactly is the problem that they have there. And this, just as an example, you might find out in China they have, they don't know how to design storage rooms, for example. Just to pick one thing out. And then you know very precisely what problems are there, what problems do these factories have. And then you can go beyond this platform. You can, for example, design specific tools that you might need to address these issues. You might be thinking about developing handbooks for factories to help them understand these topics. You might be designing workshop content, for example. And I mentioned in the beginning the academy approach that we have. You can design very specific topics that you want to deal with and then where you want to basically teach people in very intensive workshop sessions about certain topics that you have identified before. And you can also go beyond that. You can carry out or you can build up auditing systems, for example. When you know there are these three topics I have to control in my factories, then you do very specific or you create very specific auditing tools and you go into these factories and then you can basically improve them. And these are the things I wanted to show you today. There's a way of, or all manufacturers or all brands or retailers certainly have a responsibility to deal with these issues. They kind of are forced to deal with these issues because of stakeholder requirements, because of customer requirements. But it's something that is not really so easy as a lot of people think it is. It's really quite challenging for a lot of brands. There are existing tools that can help addressing these issues at the same time. So it's not, no one can hide behind, it's too difficult for me. There are existing tools, but you also may need some specific tools designed for your supply chain. And this is what I wanted to share with you today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. For your free entrance badge and other presentations, go to www.performancedays.eu. Copyright November 2014 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.